Church, located at 2308 Houston Street, Alexandria, Louisiana. We're preaching and teaching the Word of God on a regular basis. Join us now as we enter into our service already in progress. When we think about God's love for humanity, even in a state of imperfection, because God said, none is good but the Father, God is still working things out for our good. Somebody's reading. Then God's love is unconditional. It is unwavering. It is unlimited. It is affection that is not dependent upon man's performance, man's merit, or man's action. It ain't about us. Man, those words explain it all. It is an enduring grace where you are fully known, deeply accepted, and loved, regardless of your past, your present, or your future mistakes. Anybody got any mistakes? I was once lost, but now I was once blind, but now God says, I've got all of that covered. Not because we're good, but because he's great. He's gracious. And that's enough to shout about. It is God's grace which covers a multitude of faults. When I think about the goodness of God and all that he has done for me, I get excited because my soul looks back and wonder how I made it over all the way out of Dallas, Texas, all the way in Sacramento, California, brought me here to Alexandria, Louisiana, still working things out for my good. Even though I didn't know where I was headed, the Lord said, if I be for you.
Come on. Say it.
Because when we think back over our yesterday, we can still see all of the things God had delivered us from and delivered us out of. I heard the family say about a cotton field and how they pick and chop cotton, and I thought about, we ain't going back to that. But there's some that want you. And this is not a political message, I don't think. Then God's love is everlasting. This is a constant support that outlasts human struggles. The most defining verse in this is where God declares in Jeremiah 31:3, I, personal pronoun, have loved you with an everlasting love. I, personal pronoun, have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. This love, Antioch, is the ultimate expression of devotion. Because out of God's love comes justification. So what is this justification? I'm glad you asked. Justification is when we've been declared not guilty or righteous. Not guilty or righteous. If Romans 3:23 said all have sinned and come short of the glory, how can I now be found not guilty? Because of what God is up to. When we think about what God is doing, when we think about what God has done, he has made and provided the answers for everything because God has a purpose and a plan for everything that he has done. What I love about God is that if the enemy had known the ultimate plan, he would not have ever tried to mess with God's people. My brothers and sisters, it means we now have been pardoned in his sight. And Paul understood this pardon when he stated in Romans 5:1-4, when he said, therefore. And when you see the word therefore, you see what it is therefore. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Let's stop right there. Therefore, being justified by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our faith is working when we're not seeing things. You never see my word, but you comprehend what I am saying. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. We have been freed. We have been pardoned. Oh, you missing your shout. We have been justified by our faith, not by our action. We keep messing up. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will all men unto
me.
When you learn the principle and practice the word, you get the blessing. My brothers and sisters, we've been freed, pardoned, and justified by faith. We are working so hard to try to do good things that ain't getting you into heaven. That's a reward. That ain't salvation. Grace is his unmerited favor. He's already done the work. All you have to do is get the blessing. We have been freed, pardoned, and justified. Romans 8 and 3 say, for what the law, and there it is. I'm going to take you to school. What the law could not do, the law, the Mosaic law, 613 law, what the law could not do, and that it was weak. The law was weak. This ain't my word. This is in the Bible. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Hold on to that. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the... If my flesh is what's holding me back, God has already said, I have condemned that stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because your flesh always get us in trouble. We run after women we shouldn't be running after. We do things we shouldn't be doing. We lie, we cheat, we backstab. We do all that stuff in the flesh. And God said, don't do that because I've already condemned it.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm going to tell you something else why. God has condemned sin. Condemn is a strong disapproval of something guilty or unfit. In other words, the laws of Moses was powerless. The laws of Moses, the law, the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments was powerless or unable to do certain things because it was weak by the flesh. Our flesh weakened what God's structure to guide us with. God has a guideline for us to follow, but we can't follow it because of this stuff. This stuff is weak. So when he said, thou shalt not steal, kill, bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery, this stuff is rebelling against that. My brothers and sisters, the law could not save us. You miss your shout. The law could not save sinners. It could not justify us. It was incapable of making us right with God because the law only revealed in us sin without providing the power to overcome it. When we think about God's law, there's all things do not, but there's no remedy. These are God's guidelines for us to live by. Now I understand why Jesus said, a new commandment. A new commandment I give you.
Yeah.
Love God and love your neighbor as thyself. And because of this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. He who knew no sin became our sin and suffered the wrath of a sin-hating God. He, Jesus, who knew no sin. Sin is alienation. Sin is a separation from God. God ain't having nothing to do with sin. But he who knew no sin became our sin. He didn't sin. He took upon himself our stuff. So that we could be at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about that word peace. Can we go deeper? I thought about that word peace that Paul referenced. And the opposite of peace is war. The opposite of peace is war. Now, war represents both physical conflict and spiritual struggle arising from man's sin. One could ask the question, any questions? We were at some point at war with God. We were at war with God. You know how I know it? Adam and Eve rebelled. Adam, don't you dare touch that fruit. And then everything after Adam was in a rebellion mode because we inherited a sin nature. And because we inherited a sin nature, all of us now are in rebellion against God. Whether you see me do something, my flesh will make me do it, because there's something that I crave for in my flesh that God said, I don't need you to go after that. My brothers and sisters, we were at war. And we could also ask, what wars are you fighting today? We could ask, what struggles are you wrestling with? What is it in your life that caused you to be separated from the one who can restore, redeem, baptize you, justify you, and save you? And yet we find ourselves alienated in war with him. What battles are you fighting? Because the Lord says, this battle ain't yours. It's the Lord. When the enemy wants to take you down, you don't know the weakest point in your life is your strongest point. Because when you don't think you can handle it, you fall on your knees and you say, Abba, Father. You start calling upon the, you got power. You do know the enemy flees from anybody who got power. Because he lost some of his power, not all of his power. He lost a little of it when he rebelled and fell and was brought to earth. And now he uses that power, he uses the flesh to keep us in our jail cell. And he keeps reminding us of what we did. Because he knows his destiny. We have been told what our destiny will be if we accept the Lord through faith. It'll be what the end will be. Then in verse 2 it states, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Antioch, we now have access.
Thank you for listening to Paradise Ministry. If anything said today was encouraging to you, consider supporting the ministry by sending your tax-deductible love gift to the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 2308 Houston Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71301. Attention Media Ministry. Until next time, God bless you and keep you.
All right, welcome back to the Unstoppable Wade Hampton Show. It's time to answer the Bible quiz. And I got to tell you, we had people that kind of struggle with this one, but hey, that's what quizzes are for. It's a learning process, amen? Here is the quiz. Who is the Elijah who was to come? According to Matthew 11 and 14, could it be John the Baptist, Elisha, Paul, or Malachi? So who was the Elijah who was to come? Well, it couldn't be Elijah himself, so it had to be one of the other four. And according to Matthew 11:14, if you read 11:13, you'd find out it was John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the correct response, and these are the people who are sitting at the front of the class today because they got it right, whether the first time or whether they had to go back and read it again. Either